pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah, and he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then skipping to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.' Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Verses 13 to 23, Matthew chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again, Father, for your word and the wonderful gift your word is to us. Thank you for the ways you guide us, you teach us, you empower us, you mold and shape us, and you strengthen us, and you help us understand as we hear your word and as we walk in its wisdom and its counsel. More and more teach us, Father, to live in your word and to live a life of fully walking in full obedience to your word and your spirit. And help us to know, Lord, that you use us mightily as we simply walk as faithful, bold, obedient disciples of you. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we love you today. We lift high your name. We exalt you. Father, we're thankful for your word and how through your spirit you open up our eyes to the Christmas story, to the Easter story, your son coming to this earth to die for sinners like us. Thank you, Father, for that wondrous mercy shown us. And we pray for our listening family today with all the needs, all the things going on in the world with the COVID, with financial issues, with strained family relationships. We bring our listening family to you, Father, and ask your blessings on them. Help them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rick. We will continue to remind and encourage our listeners, if you haven't seen the movie, the documentary In His Image as of yet, we hope that you'll take time to do it. The full name is In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. If you want to watch it, you can watch it for free. Go to inhisimage.movie. Again, go online to inhisimage.movie to watch it. Keep in mind, In His Image is a feature-length documentary that presents much-needed truth with love, grace, and compassion and clarity through powerful personal testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence. Every church in America has people in it, people who are hurting and asking difficult questions, some of which include, can a person be gay and be a Christian? And what if someone genuinely feels trapped in the wrong body? Does God make people this way? Other difficult questions like that. Well, again, the movie In His Image, produced by American Family Studios, is a powerful tool and weapon to help the church speak truth to these issues that so many people are struggling with today. It's a weapon that we as believers can put to work. Hope you'll take the time to watch it as well as forward it to others so that they too can watch it. But also, we invite you to partner with us and receive a special edition DVD of In His Image. Help us spread the powerful message by giving a gift of any amount and receive the two-disc In His Image DVD set. You can do that to both to watch it, and you can share the feature-length documentary with friends and family and explore over 3 hours of special features on disc two that include deleted scenes, extended interviews, and biblical answers to commonly asked questions. Your gift helps AFA to share the redemptive hope of the gospel through as presented in His Image. Hope you'll take time to do that. Again, to watch it for free, go to inhisimage.movie. Our producer, Rick Robertson, is going to share with us now. Of course, many of you know part of our broadcast team is Pete the Prayer Pup. And apparently he's inspired someone in a special way. Rick's going to share with us about that.
Well, it's always neat to get emails from listeners, Lord giving us a little peek into what he's doing through Hour of Intercession. This one from a nice lady in Jacksonville, North Carolina. She says, Brother Parker, let me personally tell you how much I am blessed by the Hour of Intercession. She says, I get up around 4:30 p.m. on weekends. So I guess she listens to the podcast. She says, I turn on the ministry then. And listen to this. We even named our beagle puppy Pete the Prayer Puppy.
Praise the Lord.
How about that?
How inspiring.
So I told this to Pete, and I'm not sure, but I think I saw tears welling up in, little puppy dog tears welling up in his eyes.
I tell you, he's a sensitive little guy. So we're glad that Pete is amongst those that inspire our listeners. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, so. But so nice of her to take time to reach out and get some of those prayer tools and bookmarks. And she went on to say, what a blessing your humility, speaking of you, Pastor Joseph, for the word and prayer is a jumpstart to my days. Be encouraged, you are making a large impact for the kingdom. So we praise the Lord for that.
God is good. God is good. All right. Glad to hear from Pete once again. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. We are blessed and honored once again to have with us in studio evangelist Herdiseen Gorey. And evangelist Herdiseen, always a privilege to have you. And if you'll, as we start off, lots of our listeners probably remember your name, but then there's some who might not. So if you'll reintroduce yourself, would appreciate that.
After I finish laughing about Pete, I'm thankful for Pete.
He has a way of putting a smile on your face.
Yes, all he does. Right. And all of us need a smile.
That's right.
Yes. Right. My name is Herdiseen Gorey, and I'm with the Night Watch Ministry in Nelleton, Mississippi. And it's just an honor to be here. It's a fire burning in me right now. And I'm thankful because I know the fire that's burning is from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask as we start, if you'll pray for our listeners and pray that they'll have ears to hear what the Lord wants to share, because the topics we'll be talking about are heavy issues from God's heart. So if you'll begin with a prayer, we'd appreciate that.
And Lord Jesus, right now we're just coming before you with an humble, humble heart and just asking you just to have your way and open the eyes of the listeners' understanding so they can hear your voice in this situation. Because, Lord, life comes from you, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to celebrate life and want to just praise your holy name for the things you are doing. But right now, Lord, in this time of disappointment, Lord, we still just want to humble ourselves and praise you because you always have the last say-so. And I just thank you, Lord. Bless the listeners, Lord, and let them be blessed from this broadcast. And I thank you right now, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, Evangelist Hutterson, the two passages I read as we begun the broadcast, one, of course, is from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, and then the New Testament. In both books, in both testaments, we see the devil was trying to slaughter babies. And one of his goals, and of course, the devil is a thief, and he's a liar, and he's a murderer. But one of his goals was he was trying, amongst other things, he was trying to get rid of a deliverer God was sending. He tried to get rid of Moses in the book of Exodus. And in the New Testament, he's trying to get rid of Jesus before he ever arrives. And so, sadly, the destruction and murder of babies is a tool the devil's been trying to use a long time, and he's still trying to use it in our culture today. And sadly, it seems that many believers don't recognize the wicked instrument and weapon the devil's tried to use through the tragedy of abortion in our world today. So I want to ask you if you'll share something that's on your heart that you wanted to share with our listeners.
As I said, I have a burning inside now. It's as if I'm screaming because the blood is crying out. And it's screaming out. And I was reading Obadiah 15, and it says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. If you have done, it shall be done to you." And I started thinking about it. This is a season that everyone is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And you can see signs all down the highway. Jesus is a reason for the season, and you can see the blinking lights. But still, yet, abortion is still rampant. Abortion is still taking place. And you're celebrating the life of Jesus, but you are agreeing with someone who wants to take a life.
That's right.
You are supporting someone who wants to take a life. And it's just like double standard, like double standards when Elijah said, "You're limping between two opinions. You need to decide if you're going to be on God's side or if you're going to be on the side of evil."
That's right.
And you think about how they were throwing the Hebrew boys into the Nile River, into the Nile River. And the Nile River, at that particular time, it was a god that was that they were sacrificing it to, the god of Hoppus. And the Nile River was known as the River of Death. And so they were sacrificing to that Isle of God. But the bottom line of it, when you really look at it and you go on, by the way they were destroying the Hebrew boys in the Nile River is the same way that God destroyed the army of Egypt in the Red Sea.
That's right.
So what we do come back up on us, and this nation... out of all the abortions that's taken place, and too many of us that said we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, but yet you vote for someone who wants abortion. Yet you vote for someone who will snatch a baby from the womb. That is cheap grace.
And, you know, it's powerful to recognize, too, that like way back then again, the government of Egypt wanted to destroy babies. We see the government, Herod and his government wanted to destroy babies. Well, again, we live in a time where our government says it's okay to destroy babies as well. But God's people need to stand up for the word of God. God's word says, "You shall not murder." That's very clear and to the point. And God's word does not change. And it's important that we as the people of God stand up for what we know to be right and don't compromise with that.
And the Holy Spirit gave me this revelation.
We're going to coming up on a break here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Hutterson Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. We'll be right back.
To us.
music of B.B. and C.C. Winans. For unto us a child is born. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Evangelist Herdacine Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. And Evangelist Herdacine, if you'll pick up where you left off before the break.
Okay. As I told you, that it's a fire inside. But the Holy Spirit gave me this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Moses went to the mountain and was face to face with God for 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And God engraved the Ten Commandments where he cut it out the rock himself. He mm-hmm. engraved it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus tells us that we are engraved in the palm of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
But Revelation tells us we are written in the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
When something's engraved, you can't erase it.
Mm-hmm.
When something is written, mm-hmm. you can. So that's we can right. easily blot out our lives out of the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
But God's word is engraved and it's not going to change.
God's word does not change. That's right. That's right.
And that when he gave in that revelation, quite naturally, I go into tears because so many walk around and they think, well, you know, the woman have a choice. What if she was raped? What if it was incest? Life comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
His word cannot be erased because it's engraved.
God is the maker of life, and that's something we cannot do.
And I received this call from this man, and he said, I heard a post that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about abortion, and you made the statement. The one people say that it's a woman's choice or it's a man's choice. But you made a statement and said, no, it's not the woman's choice. It's not the man's choice. What about the baby's choice?
Mm-hmm.
Because this baby is a life.
That's right.
And when you start looking at the life of a baby from the time of conception, that child's personality was developed.
Mm-hmm.
That child's gifts were developed. Everything about that child, just like I believe I can tell people all the time, I believe I came out laughing when my mother had me because I have this joy. I laugh over things, and it's just something that I was born with.
Mm.
That child from the moment of conception, if that child was going to be the personality of that child, if that child was going to have a gentle spirit or laughter or a gift of words,
mm-hmm.
everything about that child was at that moment.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm to read and meditate on that really draws out the fact that God in detail made each one of us in an intricate and a sophisticated way, in a way that only God can do. God gives life. We can't give life, and it's not for us to take life either.
And if you will notice, this year of 2020 have been such an amazing year. Lots of people have run in fear. And I tell people, this has been an amazing time for me because my closeness to God, he pulled me closer.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear him clear. He pulled me, and I could just as if I could hear his heartbeat. And if you look at the different things that's taken place this year, God is screaming. On the 21st is the Christmas star. 800 years since the last Christmas star.
Praise God.
What is it saying? God is speaking.
He speaks to us mightily every day, every day. Through his word, and he speaks through so many other things as well. So, you know, I'll tell you, I want to share an article that I'd written, and I want to mention if listeners would like to get a copy of it. It's an article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And after I share that, you're going to share about a letter that you got from a young man who's actually incarcerated, but who is being used of the Lord as well. But I'm going to go ahead and share this article. It's again entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy and specifically crisis pregnancy has a precious heartwarming tie to the story of Christmas. How so? Well, actually, it's very obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unique pregnancies contained within its pages. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great-grandmother based on her age, yet she's an expecting mom as well. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace. And it is such a story, yet the world then was in so many ways a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in. A world where foreign armies occupied Israel, a world where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers, and a world where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception, right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this, but they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often the so-called experts advise for all sorts of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons, advise women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the quote-unquote wisdom or so-called insight of these quote-unquote so-called experts. All while the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear and it does not change, you shall not murder. Exodus 20, chapter 13. God's word is our guidebook for life. His word will never lead us to make a bad decision or an unwise decision. God himself is wisdom. So we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which always leads to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God also says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled story of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario. In seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and the world we live in today with our culture and perspective, what if? Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you are just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise to keep this baby. You're not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant. And you're just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You will be a single mother, and you will be poor and a single mother for the rest of your life. No one will want you, and you will end up all alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever even remember your name. And your child will surely amount to nothing, and no one will ever remember his name either. You must not keep this child. Trust me, I'm a doctor, and we know all about these matters like this. Be reasonable. You and the rest of your world will be so much better if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Mary's response was, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Mark my words, child. You and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever even remember your names. The next scene, Dr. Johann looked at the elderly woman very curiously. Listen, Elizabeth, I don't know how in the world this came to be, you pregnant when you're old enough to be someone's great-grandmother yourself. But let me be straight with you. You really should not keep this baby. With you being so old and carrying a child, there will probably be something terribly wrong with this child. A woman your age could not hardly have a healthy baby. The child will probably have many problems. At your age, who knows, you and the child both could die during childbirth. Be reasonable. Make it easy on yourself and the baby and just get rid of it. If the child does survive childbirth, he will probably have so many problems, he probably won't even be able to talk. His life will never amount to anything, and he'll probably grow up to be a burden on society and nothing else. Mark my words, I'm a physician, and we doctors know all about these kinds of things. Don't you think you should do away with the baby? Elizabeth's response was, good day, doctor, I'm keeping my baby. Dr. Johann said, suit yourself, old woman, but know this, that you and the whole world will regret your decision. I'm a professional, and I know very well how these kinds of things turn out. End of chapter. Again, the title of the article is Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And again, we hope that you'll really take to heart that Christmas and the story of life and standing for life and against abortion is tied wonderfully together. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to boldly stand for life and to read your word and stand on your word no matter what the world says or may proclaim. Help us to be diligent to stand on your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. But any thoughts that come to mind as it relates to that?
Tears.
Praise God. Praise
Tears.
God.
Tears. Mm. Tears. Because how often are so many told the same thing? Mm-hmm. And they trust the opinion of man over God's business.
A doctor who's a so-called expert.
Exactly. Mm. And he tells you, I know this. Mm. I know this child will not amount to anything. Mm. That's man's opinion.
That's right.
But the sad thing about it, the world is listening to man's opinion.
That's world.
It's best for you not to have this child because you won't be able to take care of it. It's best that you don't have this child because it will be handicapped. Mm. Whichever way God creates us, mm-hmm. he gives life.
That's right.
But we still listen to what man says mm. over what God says. And this is not just the world. These are people that's inside the church that's mm. listening to what man says mm-hmm. over what God says. And mm-hmm. his word is engraved, and it cannot be changed.
Mm. And you know, Evangelist, I think of this too. Like, for example, we look on at our national scene today, and even I think of in the state of Georgia, you have a man who's running for Senate who says he's a preacher of the gospel that stands boldly for abortion. He stands for the killing of children, which is clearly against the word and the will of God. And so he says he's a man of God, wants to be a political leader as well, but he disqualifies himself from really being either one because he clearly violates the wisdom and the counsel of God's word. And how tragic.
But it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And the danger is so many will look at him as being a man of the gospel, he says.
Mm-hmm. And a so-called authority as well.
And so-called authority mm-hmm. and will follow him. Mm-hmm. And believe what he said. Oh, Pastor whoever, whatever his name mm-hmm. is, said it's okay. So it's okay. Mm-hmm. But you forgot about what God said, but he have misled people, mm-hmm. misleading people into blindness. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening with what the government is doing. You pay for these abortions. It's easy to get. It's mm-hmm. easier for, and I remember I had a student that father had passed. Mm-hmm. And she went to the welfare department and was asking for help. They asked her, do you have any children? This child was like 16. Mm-hmm. And she said, no. And they said, well, we can't help you because you don't have any children. Mm-hmm. And she said, this should be the other way. Now, this 16-year-old girl, she said, this should be the other way. You should be giving me something to mm-hmm. help me because I don't have any children. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stay in school. I mm-hmm. have no clothes. Have mm-hmm. no place to stay, but yet you want me to have a baby, and then you will help me. Mm. How sad mm. that she was turned away, struggling, trying to do the right thing, but her sister had a baby, mm-hmm. and she was getting a monthly check. Mm. I mean, how warped is this society?
Time and time again, the government and so-called experts in our culture will try to advise us against things that the Word of God clearly gives us direction about. And
exactly.
It's important for us to know. God's Word is an accurate guide for everybody, for all people in all circumstances at all times in life. You never have to worry about whether or not God's Word applies. It applies to everybody.
And if Mary had to listen to doctor whoever when mm-hmm. she was pregnant and listened to society when mm-hmm. she was pregnant with Jesus mm. he would have never arrived.
That's right.
If Elizabeth had listened to someone because of her age, John the Baptist mm-hmm. would have never arrived because the world knew better. But so happened they had the ear of God. They were in tune to what God was saying rather than what the world says.
That's right.
And this is what we have to be. We got to be in tune to what God is saying, to mm-hmm. hear what he's saying, because the news media is screaming so loud. The government is screaming so loud that it's carrying people into darkness. Mm-hmm. And we're not hearing that small, soft voice of Jesus.
That's right. God's word says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we need to make God's voice the loudest voice in our lives. We really do. Our in-studio guest is Evangelist Herdiseen Gorey. We'll be right back. Forever Jones, Gloria, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Evangelist Herdiseen Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. And Evangelist Herdiseen, in this last segment, if you were going to share some excerpts from a letter that you'd received. Actually, this is the second letter that you received from a young man that's actually incarcerated, but who's boldly serving Jesus, even though happens to be behind bars.
Yes, he heard me on this program about, I believe, back in September. Mm-hmm. I believe back in September.
Okay.
And he wrote, and was talking about the problem and the how bad abortion was, and that mm-hmm. asking me mm-hmm. to go forth in boldness mm-hmm. to speak out against abortion and for the mm-hmm. ministry to even do more.
And, you know, I want to just real quickly comment mm-hmm. on it. That's such a powerful and a wonderful thing that this young man, again, though he's limited in some ways with his opportunity to serve the Lord, he's boldly doing what he can, and he's addressing an issue that should be a major issue on the hearts of believers all over the place because, again, these are God's babies that are being destroyed. And God takes it personal when we destroy one child, much less millions. Yet you have many people that say they love Jesus, they're complacent. It's like they don't care. It's like, oh, this is no big deal. Or I believe in a woman's right to choose. Or I believe a woman can do what she wants with her body. And it's like they take these smoke screen excuses and they fail to hear God's heart and mind on the issue of life. He says, choose life that you and your posterity may live.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lots of people would say when you look at someone that's in prison, mm-hmm. you think they don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. You think, well, they're in there. What can they tell me? Mm-hmm. They can tell you a whole lot.
They can speak truth.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's taking an issue that is so close to God's heart mm-hmm. because Proverbs tells us that six things he hates and seven he despises. Mm-hmm. And when God despises something, that's about as low as that you can get.
That's serious.
And when he hates something, mm-hmm. you better stand still and listen. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote back and said that he had written many ministries mm-hmm. for them to speak out against abortion. And he thanked me for writing him. Mm-hmm. And he said, one of the things he said, Herdiseen, I really wondered how America came to this number, approximately 65 million babies being aborted. Mm-hmm. We should not only look at the size of the problem. We need to meditate on the power of God.
Mm, that's right.
And see, the thing about it, we know that God is going to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
We know that God is going to deal with it. But mm-hmm. what we must realize is,
mm-hmm.
when he starts dealing with it,
mm-hmm.
oh, man.
That's right.
Oh, man. So he went on to say how for me to apply Psalms 91.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. He said, he called me a prayer warrior for one thing. He mm-hmm. said, you a prayer warrior, heard this sing? Have you ever prayed the covenant of Psalms 91?
Mm-hmm.
There have been whole platoon of U.S. Army soldiers who have gone into war in Afghanistan. Their family prayed the covenant prayer, Psalms mm-hmm. 91, and the whole platoon left after 2 years with no casualties.
Praise God.
Heard a scene? You can pray this prayer for your family and friends and write them out each day. Mm-hmm. I hear this on the devotional from Pastor Parker, Alva Intercession.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This young man speaking prophetically from right where he is and
exactly.
touching the world. Praise God.
Exactly. And so from this, to tell you the truth, mm-hmm. when I received that first letter from him,
mm-hmm.
it was like a spark of fire hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just started blazing.
Mm.
Just started getting bigger and bigger. And not only that, boldness came out.
Mm-hmm.
Boldness where I've been holding back with a soft word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a soft word does not turn away wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I received that first letter and he said, will you speak out your ministry and do more about abortion? Mm-hmm. And start talking about how a baby can be snatched from the womb and 27 states allow a child to be snatched for it at 9 months
mm-hmm.
and die. Just lay there and die and cry itself to death. It was like that spark became a forest fire.
Mm.
And it was as if I got to keep telling someone, this is wrong, and no longer will I stand back, and no longer will I keep silent trying to spare your feelings.
That's
because
right.
sparing your feelings, I'm putting my own salvation into mm. jeopardy.
And you know, a powerful issue, and this relates once again to the powerful Christmas story. When the wise men came looking for Jesus, they came and they've been listening to God and they heard God's heart that the Messiah has been born and they were following God's star to find him. But you know, Herod and Jerusalem, they were concerned that they'd come looking for the King of Kings, but it never says any of them got up and followed the wise men. And you know, evangelists, heard of saying a powerful issue here is lots of people were not listening to God in that day, and they missed what God wanted. They missed the Messiah. And as it relates to the life issue, a lot of believers today, quote unquote, so-called believers, are like the people of the wise men's day. They missed God. Why? Because they weren't listening. They were doing their own thing, and they missed God's heart. And it's tragic that people can miss God. But yet, sadly, today, lots of people that say they love Jesus are missing God here. God says, you shall not murder. He says, choose life that you and your posterity may live. Yet lots of people, it's like God hasn't said a thing to them. And we need to have ears to hear and eyes to see the word and the will of God.
But this is another thing. People will say, why do you keep talking about this?
Mm.
Why do you keep saying this over and over? Because abortion is still taking place over and over and mm-hmm. over, thousands a day.
Mm-hmm.
So you think I will stop talking about someone being murdered?
And we work for God. And he said it. He told us, choose life. And, you know, something I want to mention at this point, too, you know, like I've had the privilege of I wrote a book that AFA's published that's will be available for people to get. It's entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And it's available at afastore.net, or they can call 1-877-927-4917. And Evangelist Hurtis, in basically the message of the book is to challenge pastors and believers to become
much more, basically what you're talking about, become passionate about the life issue. Because why? Because it's important to God. And it's important that we not be amongst those who, like, when Jesus and when Joseph and Mary came to Jerusalem, the whole city was so busy, they didn't have room for them. And how many people today don't have room for God's message about life today? They're busy living their life. They're busy talking about people's rights and a woman has a right to her own body. They're busy doing their own thing, thinking their own things, and not listening to what God has already said clearly in His Word. Choose life that you and your children may live.
But this is what I'm finding out also. They'll be as in now hiding. Because now they're listening louder to hearing Corona louder than they are hearing God. So they're busy hiding. But you know, this is a Hebraic year of 5781. And with 5781, it would be a separation of the goat and the sheep. So either you're going to stand on God's side or either you're going to stand on the side of the world. That separation is coming. Because when God gives those numbers, it's going to take place.
That's right. That's right. Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for believers to really listen to the Lord, but also then there may be people who are listening who are thinking to themselves, well, I've already gone down that road and I'm hurting today because a year ago, 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago, they went down the road of abortion and they're hurting today. They regret it, but they know it's too late and they feel like that. Some of them are saying God will never forgive me. Some of them say they think it's the unpardonable sin, but they need to know that God's word says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They need the healing touch and the forgiving hand of Jesus in their lives. Would you pray for those persons?
Before I do that, what was the doctor's name that told
me? Dr. Johann.
Dr. Johann. Dr. Johann did not tell Mary, if you have this abortion, you will be remanded of it a lifetime from your enemy.
That's right.
He did not tell Elizabeth, even though you are old and you have this abortion, you will be remanded of it until you die, until God delivers you. He didn't tell them the suffering and the aggravation and the dread that was going to come after he told them he knew everything. That's he didn't tell them about that. Because after a woman have an abortion, the enemy makes sure he reminds you of it.
And some of them remember it every day for the rest of their lives.
Can't stand that smell of a newborn baby when, you know, you smell that blanket or go to a baby shower or anyone saying they're having a baby when you're struggling trying to have one. They don't tell them this. And this is what the enemy does. He will lead you to a nice piece of cake that's covered in beautiful frosting. But when you cut into it, it's nasty and dry. He doesn't tell you what's under it.
That's right.
So it's in so much suffering that comes after that. So, yes, I will pray. Lord, right now, I just want to thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to pray, to let someone know that your voice is not silent.
Thank you, Lord.
Your arms are not too short. That you are here and that each one of us are engraved in the palm of your hands, Lord, and nothing can snatch us out. But, Father, you never said that we won't step out of it. But, Father, you are so merciful. You're so kind that you're waiting for us to return, Father, because you will wash us from everything that we have done. And, Father, any listener that's listening right now, Lord Jesus, let them know, no matter what they have done, no matter if they've had an abortion, that all they have to do is to repent, turn around, and ask for your forgiveness, and you have washed them clean once again. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for coming to this world. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your goodness. And Father, I rejoice because I love you so much, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Van just heard us saying, I think of this too, that there's a great need for many that are listening now to allow the Spirit of God to set them on fire with this issue as well. We're to be on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel as a lifestyle and making disciples, but also standing for life, because we see how that abortion is so widespread. They say one out of every three or four women have had abortions in our nation. That's all over the place. So lots of people need the forgiveness of Christ mentioned them as well. Let me mention once again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to get it to you. Or if you're wanting to order the book, again, the book I wrote entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. It's available at afastore.net, or you can call 1-877-927-4917. Van, just heard us saying, anything else you'd like to share before we end our time?
If anyone wants to get in touch with me, they can get in touch with me on my Facebook page, Herdisine Gorey.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
Herdisine Gorey.
All right. Thank you so much once again for being with us today. And
thank
as always,
so
we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. And again, we're challenging and encouraging you, get involved with being a wonderful witness for Jesus Christ and a witness standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. I hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.